course. It makes it up. Right?
Regular meeting of April 2nd. Please stand for the pledge.
All right, we'll do this the second time. Everybody to stand, face the flag, hand over heart, ready to begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And may we please have roll call?
Vice President Altamirano?
Here.
President Leija?
Here.
Director Scarbellis?
Here.
Director Treva?
Here.
Director Murphy?
Here.
Okay, next item is public comments. We haven't received any and there are none in the voting room. Okay. We will move on to the consent calendar. Would anybody like to make a motion to approve?
One of us pull the salaries, expenses, and transfers. I have a question on that.
Okay.
Item B.
I'll move to approve items A, C, and D.
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries 5-0. Okay. And it looks like for correspondence and related information, we have none.
Correct.
And that would take us to reports item B. General manager and staff report.
I have no reports or updates for tonight's meeting.
Okay. And committee reports.
It was just, obviously an hour ago we did budget workshop one. That's to go over the general fund, the fire fund, and the trash fund. The board had certain questions that staff answered. Just to make everybody aware, that is a moving target. Our goal is to have the finalized budget adopted May 21st, but today was a good step in the right direction to start the budget workshops for fiscal year 26-27.
Thank you. And that takes us to the action discussion items. We'll hear the pulled item from the consent calendar, consideration for the group, salaries, expenses, and transfers.
President Leija, we bypassed 7E really fast. So I got communication from our liaison. He will not be in attendance at tonight's meeting, and there was no opportunity for replacement for tonight's attendance. So we should defer that item to the April 16th meeting, and he'll be in attendance then.
Do we know then if it will regularly be the first meeting?
You know what? When we first started this, I thought it was always going to be the second meeting, and then it has since kind of been more fluid as of recent. So what I typically do is a week ahead of the meeting, when I'm setting the agenda, I do email him and I ask if he's going to be in attendance. Sometimes I have to post the agenda before he gets back to me, and that was the case here.
Okay.
So if we could just put it on every agenda, and if they show up, listen to them, and if they're not here, I don't want to have them show up and not have an opportunity.
Okay. Are we now ready for item B from the consent calendar? Director Murphy?
Yeah. So there were two items in there. One was we got a bill there from Krohne. It's K-R-O-H-N-E. It was called was the term there? It was a flow converter.
Yeah,
that's the new flow meter for the Smith plant. So it'll be a flow meter that's on the complete effluent of the treatment plant after every process.
Okay, so there are two items on there on the bill. One was a meter.
I think the other one's the display.
It's a flow converter. I'm trying to understand what a flow converter is.
So there's the meter itself, and then there's the display that it comes on, and it comes with 100 feet of cable so that it can be a remote mount. So all of the meters will be in the same place. All the reads for the meters will be in the same place. That's what that is.
So it's a flow rate display.
Yep.
Okay. And there's an item in there. It's we had from Minuteman. I put a piece of paper on that. There was two there where they sent out the final notices. Could you read out the total number of final notices sent out on those two?
The first one is 265 final notices, and the second one is 250.
All right, that's all the questions I have.
Would you like to make a motion?
I'll move to approve the salaries, expenses, and transfers.
I'll second that.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All in favor? Opposed? Passes 5-0. Okay, now to item A. Discussion and direction regarding process of fire services.
Yeah, sorry, let me. That was Director Murphy was the first and Director Trebo was the second?
Yes.
Yes, okay. Okay, I will take this one. So the district contracts for fire services with the County of Riverside via a cooperative agreement with CAL FIRE. Currently, the district's five-year contract with CAL FIRE is expiring. Hold on. Sorry. Okay. The district's contract with CAL FIRE is expiring. One thing to note, I was part of the 2021 negotiation. That's the only other time I've been involved in the negotiation with CAL FIRE. The only thing to note for that negotiation was that we switched from a three-year contract to a five-year contract. Generally speaking, in my limited experience doing this, the contract is fairly boilerplate with not a lot of variability. But again, that's my limited exposure to negotiation, the CAL FIRE contract. So I've already been in contact with Chief Boyd, trying to be proactive about this. We got 3 months, and I asked if they can renew or send me a draft for the CAL FIRE contract renewal. So I had in here that I'm anticipating receiving that either end of next week or end of last week or by the end of this week. I got it over the weekend, so I do have that now. So the purpose of today's staff report is to seek direction from the board on what level of involvement they want to have during the negotiation process. So as I see it, there's kind of three main options available. One is kind of what we call the status quo, which is the staff-led negotiation. This is what we did 5 years ago in 2021 when Jeff was a general manager. Basically, what happened is we'd had a series of meetings between Jeff, myself, and I think at the time it was Boyd. We had a series of meetings. We had what we thought was a final trash contract that came to the board for approval in June of 2021. So that's option one. Option two is maybe potentially consider establishing an ad hoc fire services committee. So that would be an ad hoc committee of two members, so less than a quorum. And then they would kind of sit with me, with Chief Boyd, and go over. Chief Boyd, sorry, it's confusing because now Chief Boyd is different than the old Chief Boyd. Or Vike, sorry, Chief Vike. Chief Vike, I apologize. Chief Vike was the one from 5 years ago. So establish an ad hoc fire service committee, and then we can kind of have the talks. Or option three, if just the full board wanted to be involved. So I say all that, right, because this is my first time as a general manager leading the negotiation. I say all that because I obviously value the input of the board. I want to know what level of involvement you want to have. But again, I just want to reiterate, I don't think there's a lot of variability that goes on with the fire contract. I think it's pretty boilerplate. I provided the existing contract in the board packet. It's about 9 pages. It's not all that tedious. We have what I think we should do is another five-year contract, and we have estimated costs built into that contract. So this is kind of up for board deliberation and discussion. When it comes to budget consideration, if it was staff-led, that's just kind of part of my normal duty, and it's built into the existing administrative budget. If you wanted to have a fire services ad hoc committee, obviously, if we met on a number of times, there's a committee fee associated with each one of those meetings. So in my opinion, this is very minimal from a budgetary aspect when it comes to just the actual negotiation of the fire contract. So that is it from staff's report. So the recommendation is just provide direction to staff regarding the preferred process for board involvement on the fire renewal. Questions?
I have a question. Earlier on the other, on the budget, we were talking about the fire marshal fee or weed abatement. So you said that we pay about $76,000 a year for that fee. And then the city does half of that. And
no, the city does the same.
Oh, they do the same. So we both pay $76,000. Why? Why are we both paying the same amount?
Because the cost of that particular individual is 160, and we don't need him full time, nor does the city need him full time. So this is something that we put or that we did a few years ago, where he's just one person, and then half of this time is split between Rubido and Harupa Valley.
Do we have enough to be a half of that, or like maybe a third of it? Are we?
I haven't done that analysis, to be quite honest. I can drum up the original communications from 2 or 3 years ago when that switch happened.
I don't feel it's fair for us to cover half the bill when it was such a small agency. And I mean, how much of that service is going to Rubido, and we're paying half of the bill?
Would be interesting.
I would want to know this. This, I mean, other than that, fire department does amazing work. We never want to. And you know, we want to make sure we're in good grace. They've done amazing. We want to make sure that we have the protection from them and have enough people in that department to be able to take care of the entire area. But this is one fee that it kind of, I don't want to do double. I don't want to pay double if everybody else is already paying, or I don't feel that we should be having to pay half a bill when we're a smaller agency. So we can look into that. Other than that, that's my only comment on it. What do you guys feel about having staff go over there?
I feel it, like Brian said, it's really a pretty boilerplate contract, and there's really no need for an ad hoc committee for that. It's going to be going over the same old stuff that there's nothing anybody can do about.
Right.
Well, can you explain to me how an ad hoc committee works?
So basically, there's a defined purpose. You establish an ad hoc committee, it'd be two members of the board. Right. And then they would meet for that period of time. And once the agreement is adopted by the board, that committee would dissolve. So it should be for a finite period of time.
Just a temporary committee.
Okay.
The same as our water and weed.
Well, those are standing committees. So it is different. Those are standing committees. So those have those will be in existence in perpetuity.
Yeah,
true. Ad hoc has a defined purpose that will dissolve once you achieve that defined purpose.
Yeah. I have a couple of questions.
Were you done, Director Trejo?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Go ahead.
So roughly how much money do we spend? How much money gets spent a year abating weeds? Because we like have a guy go out and mow properties and then bill property owners.
We haven't had to do that in a number of years because this person is on top of these people to abate their own weeds. We have not had to side contract the abatement out for a number of years.
Right. So we're not really spending a whole lot of money on a guy with a mower going out there mowing weeds.
Correct.
And we're spending $70,000 or $80,000 a year having somebody determine whether or not we need to have a guy go out with a mower to mow weeds. Am I understanding that correctly?
Well, I think the reason that we haven't had to contract that out is you have a defined person that who's on top of it, that's issuing the letters, who's following up. So I think the work of this individual is to alleviate the necessity to hire out a contractor to abate the weeds on behalf of the customers.
The city has code enforcement.
Yes.
They'll contact people about weeds. Is that a redundant thing?
Yeah, I don't think that code enforcement.
Yeah,
code enforcement will only respond to that if like a neighbor calls them in.
Okay.
Blows them in. If the weeds are just growing, the code enforcement is not good. They got enough to do. They're not going to go
jumping
on.
That's another question. That's a good question. Do we both contact the same agency? Because if you make a report to code enforcement, they refer it to the agency. So then that would be the person or agency that will be in charge of it, right? The weed abatement department or person?
So that is determined.
Somebody's looking at the app.
Yeah.
Or someone's looking at the app and sends it to where we're at, you know?
Yeah, but then do they have to, how do we know then how many cases?
I don't think they're keeping track
of it. Usually what has happened, so a few years ago when we did have to abate it, so there'd be a running list of all the parcel numbers that have not abated their own weeds, okay? So we hire a contract to abate the weeds. Whatever the cost of that is, we lien their property on the property tax roll. That's how we get paid back. So I mean, those are always adopted by resolution. It's usually in the summertime, but I'm drawing back to memory. I want to say at most it would be like 15 to 20, maybe 25 at the hike. So we're not talking about a lot of parcels for us needing to abate the weeds.
And so the thing I am confused on is there is a person at the fire department
Thanks.
that goes out and that isn't like on a piece of equipment, 24 hours a day. It's a business, like he's there 9 to 5 or whatever, and he contacts businesses or he looks at properties, determines what needs to happen. I think the term they have is like fire prevention officer. I'm not sure. So I think that it would be helpful if we could get some clarity on that prior to approving the contract with the fire department. I don't see that there's any other option other than negotiate with the current provider. So and the other thing that I would find useful when we're talking to those guys is, when do we expect that we're, how far out in the future do we expect there's going to be an expansion in service? And do we need to include that sort of thing in the contract? Our response time currently is hovering around 4.5 minutes on average, and our target is to keep it less than 5 minutes. 75% of our calls are for medical. At some point, we're going to have to add a piece of equipment and the people to staff it to just respond to those medical calls. So that may be, if we're going to extend this contract out for 5 years, it may be that that happens during that 5-year period. And how would we go about getting that equipment and getting that staffing? And do we have, so that's the sort of information I would think we would need to talk to the county about, because that's upcoming issues. So there's for fire prevention, is it one person that does both businesses and weeds? And for future service, in order to maintain our response time less than 5 minutes, what exactly is involved in getting additional equipment and getting additional personnel? And if we could convey to the county fire staff that we're committed to getting that leak in the roof fixed. So that's that. Those were my concerns on this. My opinion is that we don't need to form an ad hoc committee. I think staff can handle this contract. So I'm going to make a motion to direct staff to enter in negotiations with the fire department to renew this contract for a 5-year period.
I'll second that.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? 5-0.
Okay.
And then the next item B, considerations of water and sewer facilities, contract 37211.
Hi, Director of Engineering Jacqueline Makarzik. We'll give that staff report.
Hi, everyone. So we had a recent tract come online. This is off of Pacific. So if you've driven off of Pacific, you kind of see it tucked away. There's a few homes there, and then it kind of crosses a channel, and then there's more homes in there leading up to where an existing development was, or older homes where Opal Street is. And so that was constructed. That construction was completed November 25th, 2025. Our team went out and operations did an inspection, a final walkthrough, if you will, with the inspector. Now, this job did have full-time inspection. We have field reports for all of the days. We used a different team than what we've used in years prior, I will say. So, past issues with not having like the daily reports and stuff are not an issue when it comes to this. I'll just say it that way. Now, the installed cost of these facilities for the water, this includes the facilities, pipelines, valves, appurtenances, everything that's being dedicated to the district for that is at a cost of about almost $1.2 million. Now, these are assets the developer constructs, and they contribute to our system. So they get put in our books as assets that we have. There is, for this project on the water side, a reimbursement agreement. We had asked them to construct a section of pipeline for which our existing customers could connect to along Opal, since they were already doing construction there, and that would improve the ability for our customers to have better pressure and more water availability. The agreement was up to $152,000 and $152,659. Now, the actual cost for constructing the facilities, including the design, was $109,935. This actually came in less than what we were expecting, what our reimbursement agreement is for. So we have this agreement with the developer to reimburse them in cash upon acceptance of the project, provided that they've provided us with their documentation and that everything checks out. So we've gone through, we have all the items that we requested, all the items that were in our reimbursement agreement from them. And we've included the summary of their cost. We didn't want to include the entire reimbursement documents because it is a rather large amount of paperwork, but as attachment four. So attachment number one, I'll just walk you through it real quick. That's our executed reimbursement agreement with them. Attachment number two is going to be the final field report that identifies our staff that was even present and what was looked at. Attachment number three are the correspondence with the developer identifying the cost for the facilities. Four is the reimbursement cost summary. So in there, this is just, like I said, a small snippet of the total cost. Now on the water side, we have this agreement to pay them in cash for these facilities that were constructed, that we required that they that we requested they construct. Now there is still a portion of this project that they're constructed and is being given over to Rubidoux that we don't have to pay for. I mean, this is just an expansion of our facilities. So on the water side, on the water side, I already went over it, but on the sewer side, that infrastructure is $818,697.50 worth of infrastructure. So that's both the soft cost and the hard cost for the facility. That's how much it would have taken, like if we were to construct that. Now they needed this for the development. It wasn't a part of our master plan. So they construct these facilities and then they get dedicated to the district. Now that for all of these facilities that we're talking about today, we do have a warranty bond that is 12 months. Now it's 12 months from acceptance. We have in the past spoken with our legal counsel who's advised that once these facilities are kind of in use, that is kind of its acceptance once they're being used. Now these facilities have been used and since the final walkthrough kind of in November of last year. And we will document it to make sure that we do an 11-month inspection of popping all the manholes again, which is what our team did the first time, and just ensuring that everything is where it should be. If something is not where it should be, then the contractor will be the one who's held responsible with the warranty and their bond. Now, we did collect a construction deposit from the developer. As you know, development pays for the development costs. No existing ratepayers are paying any of those costs. And so because of that, we do have a remaining balance in their account of about $17,000 after all the final invoicing. So there's no really budget impacts other than putting it on our books for documenting the assets that we'll be receiving. But the recommendation is to accept the water and sewer facilities that are within public right-of-way as shown as on the as-built record drawings. These as-built record drawings, just for your assistance, are attachments 5 and attachment 6 of the packet. In the amount of the water facilities, $1,181,725.50. On the sewer facilities, $818,697.50. We also would like to then issue the developer a refund for the remaining construction deposit. And then we will issue the developer the cash reimbursement of $109,935 in accordance with a reimbursement agreement from the Water Fund Unrestricted Operating Reserves. Any questions?
What was the total amount?
The total cash reimbursement they'll get is $109,935. And then the total construction deposit that we're holding on to, but we only use for their project, is about $17,000.
So the estimate was 153 originally.
Correct.
Not often anybody comes in under budget on anything.
Right. Yes, sir.
I wanted to make sure I'm understanding these numbers.
Sure.
So the cost of the water and sewer that was constructed was around $2 million.
Correct.
And there's around 50 homes. I think it's like 48.
Correct.
So the cost per home to build the sewer and water was around 40 grand.
Per home.
That doesn't include grading or storm drain or street lights or anything
else. Nothing else.
All right.
Nothing else. They do pay 3 years worth of lighting fees, which we've taken out of their deposit, and the remainder is what you see here is the.
Okay. Sounds like it's expensive to build homes, but homes are expensive.
They are. And this is also without the, also to add something else to that, I mean, these are just for the facilities. They're not including capacity fees. I mean, they pay those separately.
Okay. Any other questions? No. Would anybody like to make a motion?
A motion.
I'll second.
Okay. Altamirano and Skrbellis. Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Passes 5-0. Okay. So from here, we'll move to item 9, director's comments and requests.
That's happy Easter, happy holidays.
I just want to remind everybody that I think it's May 7th, National Prayer Day, Ordinator's Prayer Breakfast at the Indian Hills Golf Course. And I wanted to hand out a compliment to Martha. At the IAC meetings, he did very well and answered all the questions accordingly and just really did a nice job. Not that we don't all do that, but we know we've been there before, but this is her first time, so she did very well.
I will relay the information. I believe Martha's father is in town from out of the country, so she took the rest of the week off.
Yeah. All right, Director Murphy?
Over by the intersection of Opal and 45th, there is a development where they're going to be building some homes.
Correct.
Yes.
That used to be one of the donuts that was not included in the district. So when those homes get built, we will get the property tax money for that property, and they won't have to pay to go through the LAFCO. So that is a reduction in the cost associated with new development. I think that's a good thing because... that getting the boundary of the district to match the boundary of service is helpful.
You can get that at well.
So I'm all for building more homes.
Traffic
I'm against homelessness. That's all I have to share.
Okay. And I have no comments. So we will adjourn until our next meeting of Thursday.
I have the bicycle today.
That will be our
budget workshop.
2:30. Then our regular meeting at 4.
I'm going over
2:30.
2:30.
Well, I mean, what we thought was the easy one took us like 59 minutes, so we should definitely better. We're gonna do 2:30.
Okay.
We're gonna do
okay. So we are adjourned at 4:30.
Over there. Be there or be square.
Have a wonderful Easter holiday.
Thank you.
How's it going?